Before we jump into our message, let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for your goodness and your love. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit. God, as we study your word and as we reflect on what you have to say to us, may you send your Spirit to teach us. May we learn and grow in Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Brain researchers have discovered that there are two main systems in the brain. One system is incredibly fast, the other system is slightly slower. The super fast system of the brain, it is constantly sampling ourselves and our environment. In fact, it's basically checking in on ourselves about six times every single second. It governs who we love. It governs our emotional reactions to our surroundings. It governs our ability to calm ourselves down. It governs our identity, both as individuals, as individuals, and as we relate to our community. This super fast processor is really that unconscious part of our brain. You know how it is when you have an almost instant reaction to something or someone before you even have a chance to think about it. That super fast processor that's constantly checking in on ourselves and checking in on how we relate to others, that part of the brain asks questions like, who's happy to see me here? What do I feel right now? Is there anyone who understands me? How do I act like myself right now? Now, the other major system of the brain, it's a bit slower, and it's considerably more reflective. This part of the brain is powered by logic, it's powered by language, and it's our conscious thought. Now, maybe to illustrate how these two systems work together, you can think of an immediate unconscious reaction that you had to some environment, some experience, some reality, and then that's the super fast part of the brain. The other part of the brain, it's more conscious and deliberative. It's how you reflected on that experience. Often, I think to myself, I had such and such an interaction, and this was my gut reaction. And this was my gut response, and in the future, I would like to respond to it in this way. That deliberative part of the brain uses logic, it uses language, it uses our words to reflect and process. So much of Christian discipleship centers on the thinking part of the brain, but so much of where we need Christian discipleship is actually on those unconscious, immediate reactions. So this is really critical, actually, because so often we're trying to solve a problem with our immediate unconscious reactions by focusing on the part of the brain that uses language and logic and reflection. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that we are often discipling, trying to disciple the unconscious part of the brain with the conscious part of the brain. And the reality is that discipling the conscious part of the brain with the unconscious part of the brain, discipling the unconscious part of the brain with the conscious part of the brain doesn't actually work very well. In order to disciple that unconscious part of the brain, we need something more than words. We need something more than logic. We need something more than conscious thought. And what is that something that we need to disciple that unconscious part of the brain? Discipling that unconscious part of the brain and training that unconscious part of the brain really stems often from our sense of welcome. It stems from our sense of acceptance. It stems from that sense of being embraced. You can think about this in an environment where you feel not welcomed, not accepted, not included. When you're in that kind of an environment, you are always on edge. You are always anxious. And I don't know about you, but I feel like it's difficult to do well when I'm on edge, when I'm feeling anxious. And so if we want to disciple that unconscious part of the brain, if we want our unconscious reaction to be loving and kind and good and other-centered, we need to disciple that part of the brain. And the way that part of the brain is discipled is through love, through welcome, through acceptance. Now, that brings us to our study in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we are going to talk about abiding in Christ, but before we dive into that, what we need to understand is this: if we want our unconscious reactions to be Christ-like, we need to disciple that part of our brain, and the way we need to disciple that part of our brain is through the healing love of God. God's love is a social heartbeat that beats throughout the entire universe. God has never been a solitary being. He's never been alone in the universe. God has always been a community. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." From the very beginning, God has always been a community, a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the three of them have been interacting in love. In fact, the Bible says in John chapter 5, verse 20, I want you to notice this, "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does." Notice the Father loves the Son. "The reason why my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again." Again, the Father loves the Son. John 15, 19, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." What I want you to see here in these three texts is that the Father and Son have always been together from the very beginning, and that the Father has always loved the Son, and now we see that we are included in that love. John chapter 14, Jesus is talking about how he is going to go to heaven, and he is going to ask the Father, and he, the Father, will give you another advocate to help you, and he will be with you forever. That is, Jesus is going to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit to us. The Holy Spirit's going to be with us forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. Now listen to this, "For he lives with you and will be in you." Verse 18, "I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you." Jesus says, "Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is going to come, and he's going to live inside of us. And when the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us, Jesus himself is coming to us. And when Jesus himself comes to us, we are going to realize that Jesus is in the Father, and that we are in Christ, and that Christ is in us. This is incredible, my friends. Jesus was one with God, and God was one with him. From the beginning, they were together, and they loved one another, and they made us and included us in their love. And God lives inside of us, and we live inside of God by the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in us, and we are in Christ, and Christ is in God. This is next level intimacy. My friends, I want nothing more for myself, and I want nothing more for you than for you to live in this incredible, welcoming, inviting love of God. I believe with all of my heart that basking in and living in the gracious, generous love of God that receives us as broken sinners with all of our weakness, with all of our guilt, with all of our shame, receiving and basking in this love creates a path for healing our brains, for healing our minds. It is by living in love and living in acceptance that that unconscious part of the brain begins to heal. When we feel accepted, when we feel loved, when we feel welcomed, our response, our unconscious response, is more welcoming, it is more loving, it is more kind. And so, my friends, for me, this is why I'm always emphasizing the love of God. This is why I'm always emphasizing that God receives sinners. This is why I'm always emphasizing that God welcomes us, because I believe that that when we are welcomed by God and embraced by his love, and when we come to understand that, as Jesus says, on that day you will realize that I am in my Father and that you are in me and that I am in you. When we realize that we are welcomed into the community, we are welcomed into the family of God, when we realize that and bask in that healing love, it will exert a healing influence in our lives. And that will flow out in the way that we relate to other people. And that's exactly what we see in John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Here in John 15, he uses this little phrase, I am. I am. That phrase, ego amin in the Greek, is used several times by Jesus. In fact, it's actually used 8 times. Jesus says, I am. John 15, verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine. John 6:35, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to the people. He said, I am the light of the world. John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the gate. John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And here we're going to go to John 14, verse 6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And our key text, John 8:58, Jesus said, very truly I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, he says, I am. Now this one in John 8, Jesus uses that phrase, I am. Very, very important text. In the Old Testament, God's name was Yahweh. And according to the book of Exodus, the name Yahweh means, I am that I am. That is, that God is self-existent, that God wasn't created. He didn't come into existence. He is self-existent. He has always existed. There was never a time when he didn't exist, and there will never be a time when he doesn't exist. Jesus says, before Abraham was alive, I am. By saying that in John 8:58, Jesus is declaring himself to be the self-existent God of the universe. So when Jesus says that we are in him and he is in us and he is in God, what Jesus is saying is that he is the self-existent God, and that God is a community, a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit, and that we are welcomed into that community. So in John 15 here, when Jesus says, I am the true vine, I am the vine, Jesus is declaring himself by using that little phrase, I am. That is a loaded word in the Gospel of John, in the Greek. That is a loaded phrase declaring the divinity of Jesus. And when Jesus says, I am the vine, my Father is the gardener, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, critical point here, Jesus says that he is, I am, the true vine. Using that phrase, I am, he's attributing himself as God. And then he says, every branch in me. Again, emphasizing that idea that we are in Christ and Christ is fully God. Again, my friend, I want you to understand that when you become a believer and you put your faith in Jesus, you are welcomed with the warm embrace of God into the deepest, most intimate fellowship between God the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You are welcomed into that fellowship. You are like a branch connected to a vine. You are a part of that. Now, Jesus here makes an incredible point. He says, every branch in me that bears no fruit, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it will be even more fruitful. Jesus uses two Greek words here. This phrase, cuts off, that is a Greek word that is specifically used for removing dead branches. Now, here, he uses the word prunes. That is a specific word for trimming, not dead branches, but little sucker plants that come off the tree that are not very fruitful. And so Jesus here is saying essentially that his love embraces everyone, but that he prunes those that are dead, those who refuse to remain in him and get life from him. He cuts those off, and then it says that those that are in him that are fruitful, he prunes them so that they will produce more fruit. Now, he goes on. John chapter 15, verse 3, you are already clean. Interestingly, there's a play on words here. The word prunes and the word clean are the same word in the Greek. They're the same word. And so Jesus says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. This is referring to John chapter 13 when he washed the feet of the disciples, and probably referring to Judas, who betrayed him as a branch that was dead. And so Jesus here is implying that Judas, who is no longer abiding in Jesus, who has rejected Jesus and is a withered branch, will be broken off. But the other disciples who are still abiding in him and are clean in him, they will continue to be pruned and grow. John chapter 15, verse 4, abide in me, remain in me, as I also remain in you. Now, this is an incredible point here. Jesus is saying, continue to abide in me, stay put, don't abandon me, don't leave me, and I promise, I won't abandon you. Judas abandoned Jesus and eventually was cut off from Jesus by his own choice. Jesus here is pleading with his disciples who, again, this is on the eve of the crucifixion. This is on the hour when they would be tempted to abandon him. He is saying, remain connected to me. I am God in human flesh. I am the true God, and you are abiding in me. Continue to remain there, and I promise you, I'm not going to abandon you. I will abide in you, says Jesus. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Boy, I've been praying that and remembering that as I've studied this week. I've had a few things on my heart, a few prayers on my mind, and been claiming this promise. God, I'm abiding in Christ. Please do what I'm asking you to do. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. I want you to follow what Jesus is saying here. Again, he's talking in the context of the 12 disciples. That's to whom this sermon is being given. And he's saying, like, look, one of you, Judas, is broken himself off. He's abandoned me. He's no longer abiding in me, and he's drying up, and he's going to be broken off, and he's no longer going to be a part of me. But the rest of you, I'm pleading with you, abide in me. I'm not giving up on you. I'm not going to abandon you. So you remain in me because I'm going to remain in you. And I want you to know something. Just like the Father's loved me, so I have loved you. So remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Jesus here has told us, remember, this is all one talk from John 14 through to here. Jesus has said, he is in the Father is in him, Jesus is in us, and we are in Jesus because he has sent us the Spirit. And God has filled us with the Spirit, and we are in God, and God is in us, and we're abiding in that love. And my friend, this is what I want. I just want you to just take a deep breath and just believe that God lives inside of you by the Spirit if I've believed in Christ. He lives inside of me, and you live inside of God, and you're to remain there. That's where you are to live. And if you live in God and God lives in you and you remain there in his love and his words remain in you, then your joy will be full. In fact, he says that he's given us his commands. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Now, it's critical that we understand something, that keeping his commands and remaining in his love are all for our joy. Now, let's talk about what his commands are here. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Notice verse 13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. If you didn't choose, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, a fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Now, church, you've got to wrap your head around this. God loves Jesus, and Jesus loves God, and that love included you, and you in Christ are welcomed into the fellowship of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. You are in God, and God is in you, because God has sent the Spirit of Christ into your life. And as you bask in that love, and as you bask in that welcome, as you abide and remain in the love of God and the welcome of God, as you bask in that, he gives you the command: love others as Jesus has loved you. You got to catch this, my friend. If you want the instant reaction of your brain to honor Christ, you can never get there by more thinking. You have to get there by more feeling. And how do you get more feeling? How do you get more? If I want my instant reaction to be love, I have to bask in love. If I want my my instant reaction to be to treat others well. I have to bask in the kind treatment of God. If I want my reaction to be welcoming, I have to bask in the welcome of God. Church family, we have had more of the cognitive thinking part of religion than we can imagine. And there's the cognitive thinking part of religion is good, but what we desperately need, if we want to change that instant reaction, if we want to change that and we want to bring that under the lordship of Christ, we have to bask in the love and generosity and the goodness and the welcome of Christ. We need to realize that God is in us and we are in God, and Christ is in us and we are in Christ, because he's given us the Spirit and he's welcomed us into the community. He's welcomed us into the family. And out of basking in our position as beloved children of God, we receive the commandment, love as you have been loved. You know, I heard a story. I remember hearing the story well. It was just a normal day, you know, just a day like any other day. Parents were bringing their children to school, kissing them on the forehead, giving them a hug goodbye, telling them to have a great day at school. This was December 7, 1988. Unfortunately, on that day, Armenia was struck by a tremendous earthquake. It actually killed 25,000 people in 4 minutes flat. Now, there was a young boy named Armand, and Armand was in school that day, and when his father kissed him and told him to have a good day at school, his father told him that he would come and get him. So when the earthquake struck, the father was heartbroken, and he drove to the school. And when he got to the school, he saw the school was nothing but a pile of rubble. And that father remembered his promise to come and get his son. And so he began to go to the back corner of the building where his son's classroom was, and he began to dig through the rubble. And well-meaning parents tried to pull him off the rubble, saying, "It's too late. They're dead. You can't help. Go home. There's nothing you can do." And he continued to dig, and the fire chief came and tried to pull him away and warned of gas leaks and explosions, but he continued to dig. And the police came, and they told him to go home and told him that it was hopeless, but he continued to dig. This father remembered his promise to his son that he would come and get his boy. You know, it's amazing. He dug for 8 hours, then he dug for 12 hours, and he dug for 24 hours. This man dug for 36 hours straight. And in the 38th hour, he heard the faint voice of his son in the distance. He heard the dehydrated, hungry voice of his son, and his son said, "Dad, I knew you would come because you had promised to get me from school that day." That boy was secure in his father's love. That boy was secure in his father's love. And because he was secure in his father's love, he knew his father would be there for him. My friend, today, I want you to be secure in the Father's love. I want you to know that Jesus proves that you are welcomed and accepted and included in the circle of the love of God, and the gift of the Holy Spirit into your life when you become a believer reminds you that you are welcomed and included in the Father's love. And out of that welcome and out of that inclusion, God begins to bring healing to our, not just our thinking and our feeling, or not just our thinking and our actions, but he begins to heal our brains so that our immediate gut response is love. My friends, please, today, I just want nothing more for you than to be secure in the love of God. And then the command of God comes, love like you've been loved. And the brain begins to heal as it marinates in the love of God. And as it begins to heal, love begins to pour out of you. My friends, you are secure in the earthquakes of life, the difficulties of life, the pains of life, the tragedies of life, and you are secure in spite of your own weakness. You are secure in the love of God. Bask in that security and let it shape who you are. I got two questions for you today, two reflection questions. Number one, have you ever tried to change your immediate and unconscious reactions by logic, reason, and words? Have you ever tried to change your unconscious reaction by logic, reason, and words? How did that work for you? That's an important question. I'll tell you, I've tried to change my unconscious responses by logic, reason, and words. My experience, yours might be different. My experience is it doesn't work. Okay, second question for you to reflect on. Do you think that being enveloped in God and His healing love could begin to transform your immediate and unconscious reactions? Do you think that being enveloped in God and His healing love could begin to shape your unconscious reactions? How do you react when you feel totally welcomed? How do you react when you feel totally invited? How do you react when you feel like you're wanted? Probably very differently than you do when you're worried about those things. So, do you think that being enveloped in God and His healing love could begin to transform your immediate and unconscious reactions? I want you to think about these things, pray about them, discuss them with friends or family, and let me pray for us today. Dear God, I am asking that You would send Your Spirit and that You would pour a level of revelation of Your love into our lives that is beyond anything we've ever seen. God, may the welcome of Your love just fill us. And may it shape the realities that are coming out of us. Bless Your people, God, with a true sense of Your love, a rich sense of it. And I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.